Over the past few months, more people have returned to office work and spent time with colleagues in person. But the video conferences and Zoom meetings that have dominated many businesses for a year and a half continue, to the chagrin of many. So how has staring at screens and seeing coworkers only via cameras affected us? Allison Gabriel, professor in U of A's Eller College of Management, was part of a team led by University of Georgia professor Christian Shockley that studied what they call Zoom fatigue. And Professor Gabriel is with me to talk about the process and conclusions. Professor, how did this get started? Now, you and your colleagues worked with one particular company to kick it off.
So this project originated out of a really fascinating academic business relationship that developed over time. And so BroadPath is a company here in Arizona that reached out to our research team. They're a company that specializes in remote work. They've been doing it for years, so they were not new to this when the pandemic set. And they felt like they had an opportunity to collaborate with us to really try to understand how virtual meeting fatigue was affecting their employees, and in particular, how using those front-facing cameras, you know, that you stare at whenever you're on a Zoom call or whatever platform you're using, how that was contributing to fatigue. And so they presented an opportunity to us to do a field experiment, which we don't get to do very often, where we actually were manipulating whether people were using the camera on a given workday or not, and how that was then correlating with their feelings of fatigue, engagement, and their voice. So whether they felt like they could speak up during the meetings that they were having that day or not. So it was this really just fascinating partnership that unfolded in real time as the pandemic was unfolding in real time. So we were glad that we had the opportunity to look at this.
How did this so-called Zoom fatigue manifest itself in terms of how people expressed how they were feeling? And were they able to sort of define it themselves as noticing there was a difference when they were on camera as opposed to off camera, for example?
Yeah, absolutely. And so in terms of how we conceptualized fatigue, we were really straightforward. We just asked them point blank on a daily basis, right now, are you feeling fatigued, right? And that's really what people are talking about when they're saying they're experiencing Zoom fatigue. And, you know, this story has taken off, and we've heard from lots of people, getting emails from individuals who've read about our research saying, yep, I just feel taxed out and emotionally drained. I'm sitting on, you know, hours and hours and hours of Zoom meetings, and being on camera is really, really draining. Because that's an important nuance to our study, is that we did consider other features. So we looked at the camera use, we looked at the number of meetings, and the hours spent in virtual meetings based on the employees' Outlook calendars. So we had this information available. And those latter two features weren't affecting their fatigue. It was the camera use that we were able to isolate. And there's lots of different reasons why that's going to be the case. You know, when you think about a typical Zoom meeting and you're likely to feel that fatigue, it's because you see yourself on camera. So you're monitoring yourself and wondering, like, oh, is that what I look like? And look at my background, it's messy, right? There's lots of distracting features to that. But then you're also trying to figure out, well, who is everybody looking at the screen? Why is that person glancing over here? There's just a lot of confusion, I think, in the virtual medium that's contributing to these feelings of fatigue in ways that maybe in-person meetings weren't pre-pandemic.
Was there a dynamic there that employees felt they could or couldn't even say, hey, I'm happy to be in this meeting, I know I need to be, but I would just rather not have the camera on? Is that something that, as an employee in less of a power position, that's hard to say?
I think it can be hard to say, right? And we found in our research that women and newcomers, or newer employees to the organization, were more likely to feel fatigued from using the camera. And so I do think there are a lot of these kind of hidden self-presentation costs that we know exist, and we likely knew exist, and our data really highlights that. And I think these are maybe conversations that we just haven't typically had before, right? Pre-pandemic, you went to work, you had a 9-to-5 potentially. You know, if meetings were scheduled, you were going in person. There was really none of this discussion of, hey, I'm going to call in or I'm not going to come in. You know, that just wasn't how we did things. And now I think we're in this unique environment where people are really realizing, hey, maybe I have a little bit more autonomy now in how I approach my meetings. And so although we didn't study here whether people felt like they could speak up about their camera preferences, we're cautiously optimistic that managers will take this research. We know BroadPath is taking this research super seriously because they want to be, you know, on the cutting edge for their own employees to make this better. You know, having conversations about how people want to go about their days and giving people some more autonomy of using their camera or not using their camera. And I think not making assumptions that if somebody has their camera off, that they're necessarily disengaged from the meeting, right? Because I think that's the concern people have. Hey, if I don't see you on camera, I don't know what you're doing. You know, are you multitasking on something else? Are you even in the room? When in reality, I think people just kind of want a breather to maybe have a snack or stretch or pace around the room, you know, do things that maybe you don't want your colleagues seeing after you've been sitting in meetings for a long day.
I guess the cameras were intended to make it feel as though, hey, we're all still together, even if we're 20 or 40 or 100,000 miles away. And yet there is that natural pressure, because then it becomes, are we thinking about someone's appearance? Do we see someone yawn or roll his or her eyes? And does that create tension that wouldn't necessarily need to be there if it was just audio?
Exactly. And I think the connection people have been trying to make is like, well, in person, we never talked about this. So why are we talking about it in virtual meetings? But if you think about the nature of the dynamics of a virtual or in-person meeting, excuse me, if somebody's talking, everybody's kind of directed and looking at that person, right? You kind of have clearer cues of who you should or shouldn't be looking at. In virtual meetings, everybody's kind of staring at all of the screens. I know I've been in meetings with 20 people where I'm trying to focus on the speaker, but then I'm really distracted and kind of looking at myself and other people. But I think you also raise an important point about just appearance, not just your own physical appearance and readiness, but just the appearance of your space. In full disclosure, you know, I had a baby the day before the pandemic got declared.
Oh, wow.
And so when I was coming back to work, at the university, and you know, our department's incredibly supportive here, but I was having to try to figure out how to call into meetings with a newborn, right? And it would have been a lot easier, I think, at the time, and I did do this, I would just be like, I'm gonna listen, but my camera's off because I have a baby and I don't want y'all to see me scrambling to try to figure out how to multitask in this way. And I think a lot of other people are likely in the same boat, where maybe it's, you know, childcare concerns, maybe it's a spouse working next to them, or maybe they're just kind of uncomfortable with their coworkers seeing their private spaces, and that's okay. And I think we should respect that. And, you know, giving that autonomy of the camera can be one way to do that.
That is U of A professor Allison Gabriel. We've been talking about the study she and her colleagues conducted on Zoom fatigue.